In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. Dear community members, dear faithful, every day in the liturgy, the Church, the Bride of Christ, asks God for the graces which she knows we need. And these are summed up in a prayer called the Collect. Here, more than anywhere else, we see fulfilled this promise. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself asketh for us. And on this third Sunday after Easter, the Church invites us to make this prayer our own. O God, who showest to them that be in error the light of thy truth, to the intent that they may return to the way of righteousness, grant unto all them that are admitted into the fellowship of Christ's religion, that they may shun those things that are contrary to their profession, and follow all such things as are agreeable to the same. Our Mother, the Church, assisted through the centuries by the Holy Spirit, truly knows what we need. How necessary is this prayer for every single one of us, the theme of this prayer, asking that the light of God's truth be given, so those in error may return to God's friendship, is urgently needed today. There is so much confusion. Every time we have been able to share the faith with a non-believer, every time we ourselves have received the benefit of a fraternal correction, when we were in spiritual danger, the grace of this prayer was being granted. This prayer is urgently needed today. It is because we are living in a time when God's most beautiful attribute, his mercy, is being falsified. This is true mercy. O God, who showest to them that be in error the light of thy truth, to the intent that they may return to the way of righteousness. False mercy, on the other hand, does not bring the light of truth or the way of righteousness. It tries to hide the truth so that those in error do not become uncomfortable. What is mercy anyway? We must define it, and the faithful and all of us indeed want to know what it is. I remember once as a seminarian, a woman who was passing through a very difficult period of grief after having lost her mother, said to me, "What is the mercy of God?" We know that God loves this virtue of mercy. When in the Old Testament he said, "I desired mercy and not sacrifice," he was teaching us that the outward practice of religion is insufficient without mercy. When our Lord comments on this verse, he adds, "I am not come to call the just but sinners." Jesus Christ shows that he is God's mercy in human flesh. If I could put it this way, mercy could be called the chemical reaction that happens when love interacts with misery. St. Thomas puts it a bit more technically when he says, "Mercy is heartfelt sympathy for another's distress, impelling us to help him if we can." Love, the virtue of charity, desires others to be happy. God wants us to be perfectly happy, which can only happen in heaven. Misery is the condition, however, of being deprived of this happiness. The greatest misery, of course, as you know, is sin, because it excludes us from God's friendship, and if we die in that state, we cannot go to heaven. Without denying the very real earthly miseries that exist in our world, the reality of sin puts them in perspective, be it loneliness, unemployment, disease, or otherwise. God has mercy on us when he saves us from our sins. And one of the main ways that he does this is, of course, by giving us his truth. As Christ said to Pilate, "For this I came into the world, that I should give testimony to the truth." That is why one of the spiritual works of mercy is to instruct the ignorant. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." What do I mean when I warn about false mercy? Well, if mercy is the reaction of love when it is confronted with misery, then false mercy is a purely sentimental mercy, based on a false love or on a false sense of misery. As Christians, we love others because they, like us, are created in the image of God. This is the foundation of charity, loving others as ourselves because we want them to go to heaven. Secular love, though, is not the virtue of charity, as I've told you before. Secular love is what is called today affirmation. This false love is not based on the image of God that we share, an image that is damaged by our sins. It is based on the false notion of human autonomy, that I can make my own destiny and do as I please. And you need to affirm my decisions, or else you are being hateful. So if we adopt this false worldly vision of love, then we will also adopt a false mercy. If little Bobby wants to eat 5 pounds of sugar every night before he goes to bed, and then his mother, if she tells him no, in this way of thinking, his mother is unmerciful. If I go back on the vows that I made when I got married and go to live with someone else, then you need to affirm my decision, and if you don't, you are not being merciful. This false mercy is so widespread today. Likewise, if we have a purely sentimental understanding of misery, on the suffering or the confusion that people experience, this can also lead to false mercy. Socrates, the great Greek philosopher who was condemned for his teaching, met his friends who came to visit him in prison. They saw him in chains, which certainly is a form of misery, and they told him how awful it was to see him unjustly condemned. He wisely responded, "Would you rather see me justly condemned?" In other words, he understood that it is better to suffer injustice rather than to perform it. Imagine a doctor who has to diagnose a patient with a threatening cancer. He sees that she is nervous, of course. And so, to spare her this misery of being nervous about a possibly painful disease and a treatment, he tells her that she's healthy. 1 week later, she's dead. The real misery, of course, is not the nervousness, but the cancer itself. If this doctor had really been merciful, if he really loved his patient and saw things in the right perspective, he would rather have told her as kindly as possible that she was very ill, but then he would have outlined the treatments that could potentially save her life. He would promise her to do his very best for her, helping her every step of the way. That is mercy. If you, as a Christian, see me committing spiritual suicide through grave sins, and all you can say is, "Let's just hope he doesn't know what he's doing, as long as he feels included, that's the main thing, then you are not being merciful. As Christians, we have received God's mercy, especially on the day of our baptism, and whenever we go to confession. God shows us his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We are also called to show true mercy to others. The psalm says, "Mercy and truth have met each other, justice and peace have kissed." Although there is a right way to share God's truth, hiding it is never merciful. Letting a patient's body die from cancer, letting someone's soul die from sin, is never merciful. There can never be a contradiction between truth and mercy. It is sad today that even in the church, where we should all know better, we sometimes hear the illogical idea that we can hold on to doctrine, but just change disciplines and practices as we like, as if in this way, as if the way we live our faith does not reflect what we believe. And all those who justify and who attempt even to change the church's doctrines themselves, be it those who would like to see women sacramentally ordained, to see the church change her teaching on the inadmissibility of artificial contraception, or the indissolubility of marriage, the need to be and the need to not be in a state of sin in order to receive Holy Communion worthily. This confusion is widespread. So, my dear friends, we must be cautious about half-truths. Pope Leo XIII once pointed out, "There can be nothing more dangerous than those heretics who admit nearly the whole cycle of Christian doctrine, and yet by one word, as with a drop of poison, infect the real and simple faith taught by our Lord and handed down by apostolic tradition." In the collect today, we asked the Lord, "Grant unto all them that are admitted into the fellowship of Christ's religion, that they may shun those things that are contrary to their profession." In these confusing times, then, when the spirit of the world is wreaking such havoc, we know that we are just as weak as anyone else. But this is Easter time, Paschal tide, the season when God reminds us that sacrifice leads to glorification. This prayer is necessary for us all. Dear Lord, through no merits of our own, you have called us into the fellowship of your church. Again and again, you have shown us your mercy after we have insulted you again and again through our repeated sins. Do not let us waste this mercy. Give us the light of your truth so that we may share it with others. With kindness, with patience, and humility, do not let us murder the souls of our brothers through a false mercy that makes excuses for sin. Help us all to shun the dangers to our salvation, whatever it may cost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.